Dave and Darren with the Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we've gotten done on our morning show, which you can hear mornings on Planet 93.9 if we sound a little bit more
upbeat.
It's because Darren just won $100 first place at a talent show for his performance of an original composition. What's the name of the song, Darren?
It's called Pink Floyd's Hey You.
Wait, you didn't write that song.
No, but I felt I could have.
Here now is what we got done on our morning show. We'll start with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Amazon activists mourning a person they call the man of the hole.
Okay.
The man of the hole is dead, Darren. He was the last of his tribe down there in the Brazilian Amazon.
Oh, that Amazon.
Yeah, the Amazon rainforest. An unidentified and charismatic indigenous man thought to have been the last of his tribe has died in the Brazilian Amazon, causing consternation amongst activists lamenting the loss of another ethnic language and culture. This guy lived alone. He was known only...
That's not really a tribe.
As the No, he's a tribe of one. He was known as Indio do Buraco, or the indigenous man of the hole, because this guy spent much of his existence hiding or sheltering in pits that he dug in the ground. He just loved to dig holes and hang out in those holes.
Well, that used to be my gig.
Over a period of decades, during which his land was attacked and friends and family were all killed, he resisted all attempts to make contact. In fact, he would lay traps and shoot arrows at anyone who came too close. I think you would have gotten along with this guy famously.
Sounds like Ginger Baker.
Sarah Schenker is a campaigner at Survival International, a global movement for tribal peoples. And Sarah says, having endured atrocious massacres and land invasions, rejecting contact with outsiders was his best chance of survival. He was the last of his tribe, and so that is one more tribe made extinct. Not disappeared, as some people say. It's much more active and genocidal a process than disappearing. We don't know a lot about this guy. He was obviously very independent. And his solace helped create a mystique that captured the attention of activists and media all across Brazil and indeed around the world.
And I'm sorry, how old did they say he was?
How could we know?
Well, what did he say?
He didn't say anything. Have you been listening to the story? He didn't talk to anybody. He lived in holes. If you went to talk to him, he would try and shoot you with arrows that he made.
Well, that says that speaks volumes.
I suppose you could, you know, perform an autopsy and make some sort of determination how old the guy was, but it would just be a guess. People, indigenous people that live in the forest, they don't keep the best records. Marcelo dos Santos is a retired explorer, and he says that this guy didn't trust anyone because he had many traumatizing experiences with non-indigenous people. They strategically placed gifts of tools, seeds, and food for this guy, and he never took any of it.
No.
Because he probably thought it was a trap.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to owe anybody anything.
They believe that sometime in the 1980s, illegal ranchers, after leaving initial offerings of sugar, gave the tribe rat poison.
Oh, that's awful.
That killed everyone except for the man in the hole. Because he didn't take the sugar, he was able to survive.
I didn't have the salmon mousse.
They would monitor his well-being from a distance, and they found his body lying in a hammock in a state of decomposition. Well, that's the way to go.
I tell you what, that's
to die in a hammock?
That's not bad.
It isn't. Because he had placed brightly colored feathers around his body, they think that this guy had prepared for his death. The guess is that he's about 60 years old. That's just a guess.
Okay. I guess that's kind of old for the...
For living in holes in the rainforest?
Yeah.
It's probably super old.
Living in the forest.
Right? At least 30 groups are believed to be living deep in the jungle, but we really know nothing about their, next to nothing about their numbers. We don't know anything about their language. We don't know anything about their culture. And because this guy resisted any attempts at contact, he died without revealing, you know, what ethnicity he belonged to. We don't know why he dug all these holes and spent all the time in the holes. We don't know.
He liked holes and feathers.
He was like a...
And he lived in the forest. I'm going to go to the boat.
He liked holes and feathers. He's basically the Brazilian equivalent of Wayland Flowers, minus Madam. He expressed his option for distancing himself without ever saying a single word that would allow his identification with some known indigenous language. This is a part of Brazil that's on the border with Bolivia. It was and remains to this day under attack by ranchers, prospectors, and loggers. So that's something they're still dealing with now. And there are still people that just live in the forest and don't have any contact with this modern world. That's crazy to me that that's still a thing that happens. It's kind of cool. I mean, I'm not saying I want to go down there and live with them. I don't think they'd welcome me. I don't think they'd be thrilled to see the likes of me in the forest. But it's crazy to think that there are like Ewok people living in the woods.
You know what I think would be a cool kind of crime-fighting puppet duo?
Okay, a puppet duo that fights crime.
Uh-huh.
Give it to me.
Corn Dog and Cattail.
Which one's the puppet?
Both of them.
Wait a minute. So they're puppets that fight crime?
Yes.
Is anybody...
But see, the thing is...
Is anybody working the puppets?
But you can't really tell who's who. Who's Corn Dog and who's Cattail?
So wait a minute. Their crime-fighting prowess is wrapped up in the fact that you can't tell whether you're looking at a cattail or a corn dog. Right. And it just baffles evildoers.
Yeah. Everyone's like, who's who?
Right.
I mean, you'd have to...
Unless there's mustard on you, I don't know which one you are.
Yeah. Unless I got to get close enough to smell you or taste you. Who's Corn Dog? Who's Cattail?
So they're robbing a bank. And... Two puppets. Now, is anybody working the puppets?
Well, someone's got to work the puppets, otherwise they don't work.
Is it one puppet master or two?
Well, no.
One on each hand?
One on each hand.
Okay.
You got Corn Dog here and you got Cattail here.
So the puppeteer is doing both voices for Corn Dog and...
Oh, they don't talk.
Who talks?
No one talks.
They just show up and baffle you by their appearance?
Yes.
So you're trying to guess which one is a corn dog and which one is a...
I mean, look at that.
Well,
if you were looking in the nature, that could be a corn dog.
They do look an awful lot like corn dogs. I will say, though, I've never once been fooled.
Or if you're just like a grumpy old man and a couple kids show up and go,
uh-huh.
Which one are you, corn dog or cattail?
Yeah, that's not bad. You know what would be fun? Go out into the woods where the cattails are growing or in a marsh. And just strategically place mustard on cattails and see if anybody falls for it. Hey, look! Free corn dogs growing out of the swamp!
Free corn dogs.
Sprinklers on. Can that be our new name? Corn Dog and Cattail in the morning?
That's another one. That's another one of our... Yeah.
Add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
You're listening to Corn Dog and Cattail in the morning. Which one's
which? Who's who?
We'll never tell. Who's pulling the strings on this puppet show?
Oh, I think you know.
I'm just loving the fact, Darren, that rather than just say you think that'd be a good puppet show, you instantly go to crime-fighting puppets.
Well, yeah.
They're puppets who fight crime.
Yeah.
In your head, that makes sense. That's a thing that
happens. Some sort of benefit to society.
Otherwise, it's just a complete waste of everyone's time.
Otherwise, it's just, you know...
What are we doing here? Number two. I have some news from Hollywood, Darren. Chris Rock saying that he has said no thanks to the invitation to host the 2023 Academy Awards.
Not without a helmet.
Why would he? Why would you even offer that to him? Your security's a little lax. Chris Rock has declined the offer to host the 2023 Academy Awards. That's something he apparently said during his Sunday night show at the Arizona Financial Theater in downtown Phoenix.
My teeth are still loose.
Rock said the Academy asked him to return to host. Now, he's hosted twice already. He hosted in 2005, and he hosted in 2016.
If he was to host, how obvious would it be that he would come out in a football helmet?
Yeah, I mean...
It's too simple. Maybe the football helmet that Jack Nicholson wore in Easy Rider. I got this one from the archive.
Okay. Every time he comes back from a break, he's wearing
a different helmet.
A different famous helmet.
Different type of helmet.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Now he comes out in a stormtrooper helmet.
Right.
Now he's a Roman centurion.
Centurion!
Yeah, Will Smith slapped him at the last Academy Awards. Now Will Smith can't go to the next Academy Awards. Hasn't he been banned for like the next 5 years?
Okay.
Rock.
Make it 10. Make it 10. A good 10-year ban.
During his show, Rock reportedly compared accepting the hosting gig to returning to the scene of a crime, referencing the murder of O.J. Simpson.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. You're going to bring O.J. into this?
And, you know, the thing about O.J. is that, he played pretty well himself.
Damn!
I know.
Rock reportedly compared accepting, I'm reading here from The Hollywood Reporter, Rock reportedly compared accepting the hosting gig to returning to the scene of a crime, referencing the murder of O.J. Simpson, whose ex-wife's killing began with her leaving a pair of sunglasses at an Italian restaurant. Rock said returning to the Oscars would be like asking Nicole Brown Simpson to go back to the restaurant.
Not really.
She didn't get killed at the restaurant.
No. And she got killed. You got slapped. You didn't have your head cut off.
Damn!
According to the Arizona Republic, the comedian's sold-out crowd was eager to hear his take on the incident, with one fan yelling out, "Talk about it!
Say more!
We want to hear more about when you got slapped in the face in front of a billion people!
Talk about it."
Rock continued referencing Will Smith's performance as boxer Muhammad Ali in the 2001 drama Ali, for which Smith earned his first Academy Award nomination. Rock said, quote, "He's bigger than me. The state of Nevada would not sanction a fight between me and Will Smith." Who's writing your stuff, Chris? It's 10 years. In April, the Academy Board of Governors banned Smith from returning to the Oscars for 10 years. You were right.
They took my suggestion.
Earlier this month, the newly appointed Academy CEO, Bill Cramer, noted that they are, quote, committed to having a host on the show this year.
Now,
and
if you were
already looking at some key partners on that.
If you were banned for 10 years from anything, would you ever go back? I mean, the only reason you would go back is if you were up for an award, right?
Yeah, I don't know how.
Why would you show up if you're just that,
I was nominated for something, I don't think I'd go back, though. If you ban me for 10 years.
I mean, I can see someone saying, "You darn right I'm coming back."
Because I did nothing wrong?
Well, no, not that. He knows he did something wrong. It's just I'm going to be defiant.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come back because I'm a tough guy.
I'm guessing.
I'm a tough guy.
You're asking me if I was banned from a place for 10 years.
That's enough.
I wouldn't go back. If I was banned from a place for a week, I wouldn't go back. I'm pretty pleased to share with you, and this will surprise no one, I've never been banned from any place.
No, I haven't been banned either, but there's plenty of places I just don't go.
Right, but that's a self-imposed ban. That's more of a...
Which is the greatest ban of all.
I'm banned from going to that place. They banned you? No, I've just imposed my own ban.
I am banned from so many places, it's not funny.
In your mind, though.
Yes, it's a...
You're the one calling the shots.
Yes, I'm the
These
one...
These are your terms.
I'm the one that's... I'm banning myself.
Right.
And I've done it.
A self-imposed ban.
I've done it.
is pretty satisfying.
To the point where, mm-hmm. truth be told, there's very few places I can go.
You don't set foot in a lot of places, do you, Darren?
No.
You're not someone that goes a ton of different places.
No.
And that's because of various bans that you've placed.
Right.
Sanctions. Sanctions have been placed.
I've sanctioned myself. I have so many embargoes going on that it's crazy. It's hard to keep them straight. It's not that hard to keep them straight. I just don't go anywhere.
No, you have like the five places you go.
The five places.
And if it's not in that list of five places.
The five places I haven't banned myself.
I'd love to come to your wedding, but I'm banned.
But the thing about it, it's the sort of discipline I need.
Well, it's the structure. Really.
Yes.
The banning structure has really made you.
I don't like my rules, but I understand why I have to have them.
Number three.
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 Each summer, Darren asks the question,
where will you be swimming this summer?
Thanks. Yes, to swimming with bow-legged women.
And to be honest with you, we had kind of a tough year this year finding places to swim.
Yeah.
Because of the paint, the diarrhea.
Right.
You'll be killed.
I'm a good swimmer.
You're right.
It was not a banner season.
It wasn't the best. I got to tell you, I watched Jaws again this weekend, and I picked up on a detail that I've seen a movie 100 times. I found myself, because of this show that you and I do,
yeah.
I found myself fixated on Quint's silent assistant.
Okay. And what did he pull?
Well,
that you had never noticed before.
I never in all the years of watching Jaws, and it's not like it's a hidden detail.
Yeah.
It's right there on the screen.
Yeah.
When they have the meeting.
Yes.
There's a $3,000 bounty on the shark, and Quint needs 10 to make it happen.
Right.
You all know me. You know how I make my living. He interrupts the meeting by dragging his nails down the chalkboard.
Famous scene.
Uh-huh. And he's got his mute assistant with him. It's this meeting of all the townspeople.
Yeah.
Quint's there. He's got his guy.
Yeah.
And the guy brought his dog.
Yeah.
I forgot there was a dog involved.
Yeah, there's a dog.
I'm bringing my dog into this.
The dog doesn't go on the boat. And he doesn't go on the boat, quite frankly.
Well, the dog and the guy have the same amount of lines.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't get on the boat when it's time to go. He's going to just go sit in his underwear in Quint's house.
That's all I'm going to do.
And truth be told, I guess I'm staying here for good because Quint doesn't come back. Spoiler alert.
It's not.
For those who haven't seen the movie. Yeah,
well, now you've ruined it.
I'm sorry.
Yes, to swimming with bow-legged women.
Thank you, Quint.
How many more movies did he make after Jaws?
That was his last movie.
Was it?
No, it was near the end, though.
Had to be.
He wasn't around...
Robert Shaw.
He wasn't around...
What else did he...
I mean, he's in...
of course, he's famously in The Sting, but that was like the year before.
Yeah.
Boy, what a... He was on a roll there.
Right. Summer girl goes swimming. Swims out a little far. She tires. Fishing boat comes along.
It's happened before.
I don't think you appreciate the gut reaction.
When did it happen before?
Listen, summer girl goes swimming.
When?
This happens all the time.
When? No, it doesn't.
Listen.
It doesn't. Happen all the time.
I'm pleased and happy to repeat the news that we have, in fact, caught and killed a large predator that supposedly injured some bathers. But as you see, it's a beautiful day, the beaches are open, and people are having a wonderful time. Amity, as you know, means friendship.
That's not the shark. That's not it.
That's the best line, the way the mayor says, this shark supposedly hurt some people. He's the best villain in movie history.
No, no.
The shark that, I don't know, supposedly injured some swimmers.
You mean he...
Some bathers.
You mean when he ate them?
Supposedly he injured some bathers.
He ate the bathers.
I don't know, supposedly. Supposedly that's what happened.
No, he ate them.
Summer girl goes swimming, gets tired. It's happened before, all right?
When?
This happens all the time. Listen,
people are constantly.
I'm very pleased to report
chopping
that the shark
people up
that,
with boats.
I don't know. Supposedly injured some bathers. Injured some bathers. The thing ate a bunch of your townspeople. As you know, Amity. Let's focus on the fact that Amity means friendship. That's what I want to remember. Focus on that, if you please. Robert Shaw died in 1978.
Okay, so not long
so
after.
He wasn't in a ton of other movies.
Does Spielberg make a cameo in Jaws?
I don't think so.
Boy, he sure should have.
Robert Shaw
would have had plenty of opportunities.
Robert Shaw's in The Deep.
That's right.
Which is another Peter Benchley novel.
That was the follow-up.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah, it was not a sequel.
Not a sequel.
But it was
That was the next, yeah.
Yeah.
The Deep.
And of course, he's also in From Russia with Love.
Yep,
he's and The Sting. Those are
The Sting.
Those are his big movies. Force 10 from Navarone, that came out in 78.
Yep. Okay,
that Black Sunday, where they are going to bomb Super Bowl. He's in that.
It's got a blimp.
Mm-hmm.
They got a blimp.
He's the sheriff of Nottingham in Robin and Marion. Where
he stayed busy.
Yeah, he got some work after Jaws. Not a ton. Wasn't around for too much longer. Is to swimming with bow-legged women. I wanted to talk about
where you're gonna swim
pools in France, because we've just discovered 20,000 secret swimming pools all throughout France.
What?
Yep.
How do you keep that many secret?
20,000 secret swimming pools recently been discovered in France,
and they're being held secret. From who?
Well, it's
from the French or from us?
Well, from the French, I guess. I guess.
Or all the French in on it?
Well, I think you're getting
the French know about it.
You know, I think you know where this is going, because these are French people that had pools, and they weren't super interested in the government knowing that they had pools because you get taxed on your pool. So these French people had swimming pools that they did not declare.
Ah.
And what they did over there was used artificial intelligence to uncover more than 20,000 secret swimming pools. And as a result now, France is getting more than $10 million in taxes. The undeclared pools were discovered during a trial of software that Google came up with.
Googled me.
And a French consulting firm. Trial resulted in aerial images of 9 regions in France where pools were revealed. Exactly. Authorities say the technology is going to be rolled out nationwide, so they'll be finding more and more swimming pools. If you have a pool, it must be declared by law in France because it increases your property value.
Absolutely.
They could also increase your property taxes to the tune of about an extra $200 a year. But if you don't declare it, then there you go.
What about the people who put the pools in?
Mm-hmm.
They clearly...
You would think the people that install the pools would have to say...
They clearly didn't declare anything either.
Interesting. Authorities say this technology could be used to expose other undeclared home improvements like gazebos, patios, verandas, or even expansions that would bring in more tax revenue. But they also say they got to be careful not to misidentify a dog kennel or a children's playhouse as an expansion. So far, they say the technology is not quite there, but during this swimming pool test, which went pretty well, there were a bunch of solar panels that were misidentified as pools.
Or Native American homes.
Oh,
that's...
You think we keep swimming?
Hog houses? I could have swore. As God is my witness.
Okay, what Darren's referring to is as a high schooler.
You hadn't been out of the city. You were a big city kid.
As a high schooler, in my very first trip to Iowa, I had never been. And traveling, doing a campus visit, going up 61, we got to Maquoketa, which I very assertedly told my mother, we're in Maquoketa. This must be, I said, Injun territory. Because I didn't know. I just didn't know what it was like here. I had no idea. And there was a hog farm with little hog houses. And in the distance, I assumed it was a Native American reservation.
Because, of course, they're a foot and a half tall.
I did. I was I was 16, 17 years old, I tell you. What did I know? I didn't know.
2 feet tall. These. What?
I think that's where the Indians live, Mother. Let's travel north on Highway 61.
You're a dummy, what a, son.
What a strange land this is. She didn't correct me. No.
You know, he's probably right.
Well, I didn't know. How can I know? I don't know. I know now. Although you don't see those little hog things on 61 anymore in Maquoketa. Also, I don't think it would kill the new owner of Gene Stillmonka's farm to put the Gene Stillmonka's name back on his farm. That bums me out every time I drive by and I don't see Gene Stillmonka's name on the road. It's an easy enough thing to do. I might put his name on my house.
There you go.
What'd you guys do with the letters? I'll take the letters down to Bettendorf and I'll put Gene Stillmonka's on the side of my house so when people drive down my street, they can think of the late, great Gene Stillmonka's.
And my garage is Earl Shibes.
It's a tribute.
Number four.
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 I have a story here, and it smacks of, I can't believe Darren wasn't on that flight, and it involves two Air France pilots who have now been suspended after they got into a fight in the cockpit, in the air. Was one of them upset because they had to pay taxes on their swimming pool?
I spit in your general direction.
Two Air France pilots have been suspended after coming to blows in the cockpit of a jet airliner during a flight between Geneva and Paris.
Yeah, I'm surprised this sort of thing doesn't happen more often.
That you just have had enough of your co-pilot?
Yeah.
The mid-air dispute occurred in June. It's just coming out now, though, according to a report in La Tribune newspaper. The incident was resolved quickly, and the flight proceeded normally. The pilots are awaiting a decision by management on their totally inappropriate behavior. I'm going to go ahead and just say you're fired. You guys don't get to throw punches at each other.
Who do you think scolded him? A variety of people?
I don't know. How would that
air
work?
Air traffic control and the crew on the plane. You guys play nice.
The revelation of the physical altercation comes on the heels of a report published this morning by France's Civil Aviation Safety Investigation Authority, the Bureau d'Enquête d'Analyse.
How you say?
Uh-huh. They concluded that a series of lapses at the French arm of Air France KLM pointed to changes and even violations of procedures, leading to a narrowing of safety margins. They are pledging to carry out safety audits and beef up post-flight analyses. In this fight that happened, again, in the air between the pilot and the co-pilot, a physical altercation, it happened shortly after takeoff as the plane was gaining altitude, with these two taking each other by the collars, and one possibly hit or slapped the other.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? You take my wife's name out of your mouth. Take this, you dirt, and another one. And a refresher so you remember. What is going on up there? Cabin personnel could hear the noise in the cockpit and intervened. One member of the flight crew ended up having to spend the rest of the flight in the flight deck to, like, keep an eye on these boys. All right.
I'm going to watch you for the rest of this flight.
You two can't be trusted up here. So now, instead of serving snails to all of our guests, I got to sit up here and watch you two. This is, how you say, infuriating. They say that there was no notification given to the government because there were no consequences for the flight. Right. No harm, no foul. Everything's cool.
We got to Geneva on time.
Look. This report focuses on another Air France flight during which pilots of an Airbus A330 traveling over Chad in December.
Chad?
Air France pilots during a flight over Chad in December of 2020 detected at cruising altitude. When they got to cruising altitude, they realized that 1.4 tons of jet fuel was missing from the plane's tanks.
Yeah.
The crew skirted safety procedures and increased risks of a fire in the middle of the air or on landing by not shutting down the leaking engine or opting to touch down at the closest airport.
Yeah, too busy fighting.
But this is a different flight. But maybe they were fighting.
Still, yeah.
What if it's the same two guys? Every time we get in the cockpit, how you say we fight, no? There's another investigation of a different Air France flight. Pilots of a Boeing 777 airliner aborted a landing at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport after telling air traffic controllers the plane was unresponsive at the approach. A pilot was heard to say on the comm that the plane was, his words, going nuts. That was a flight from New York to Paris. It landed safely on its second attempt. You don't want to hear that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to land here at Charles de Gaulle Airport, but, well, I tried, and plane's going nuts, everybody.
You have to say something. They don't just clear their throat the whole time.
No, he wasn't clearing his throat. He was just thinking of what he wanted to say. And then he realized he had nothing to say.
I have nothing to offer you people. No comfort.
That was the co-pilot. He felt like he needed to say something, but had nothing to say. Felt like it was my time to chime in.
We're having some problems. The plane's going nuts, and here with some words is my co-pilot.
I say, let him crash.
Oh, boy.
Five.
Number five.
I'm noticing a lot of tension between two different camps, just online, chatter, if you'll have it. It seems to me that there's always this time of year people that want to take shots at people who enjoy pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice is everywhere now, and there'll be more and more pumpkin spice things. Listen, you like what you want to like. If you like pumpkin spice, I think that's terrific. It's none of my business, and I'm not here to tell you what to like. But it seems like I've been noticing the last couple of days, a lot of people who are into apple spice are coming out of the woodwork saying, we're tired.
What about us?
Yeah, exactly.
Playing second fiddle?
Exactly. Apple spice is a more autumnal flavoring than pumpkin spice ever was.
Hmm.
I'm seeing a lot of people ready to do battle. The pumpkin spice versus the apple spice folks.
What if I was to set you up with like an apple cider donut?
See, I would love that.
Sure you would.
I think that's fantastic. They're Wilson's Orchard out in Iowa City. They do this thing where they have the apples that they grow right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do sort of like a slushy with the apple juice. And I'm here to tell you, it's absolutely incredible.
Here's the advantage that the apple people have.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot easier to eat an apple with one hand.
Yeah. Well,
then attempting to do that.
You can't really walk around and munch on a pumpkin.
No, you can, but you get locked up.
As you should.
Right. All of a sudden, here comes a wagon for you. If you're walking around.
That's not great.
Eating a pumpkin with one hand. Quite frankly, if you're eating it with two hands, they're still going to call the same wagon.
Yeah, that's not
and take you away to I don't know where.
Where you can't hurt anybody.
You're right.
No, I think that's probably a good idea. Look at me.
Huh? What?
Just doing some pumpkin munching. What? Free country, isn't it? Are you?
I'm more elephant than man. Although I am not the elephant man.
No. People get that People get that confused.
Pumpkins have better seeds than apples, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Look, they're both terrific. I'm not here to say it's time to choose sides. Whatever you like is great. I would much rather have something apple spiced than pumpkin spiced, but I enjoy both. They're fine. And again, we're not here to make you feel bad about the thing that you like. It just seems like this year, the apple spice people
are
saying
this planting is, a flag.
Enough is enough. Did you see the story of the guy in Nebraska who paddled down the Missouri River on Saturday in a pumpkin?
How big is this guy?
Well, he's celebrating his 60th birthday.
Is he like 10 inches tall?
Yes, Darren. He's a Lilliputian who lives in Nebraska.
And I live in a pumpkin.
Grew up in a shoe. My mom's the old lady.
What the hell are you talking about?
Dwayne Hansen lives in Nebraska, and he just paddled 38 miles down the Missouri River in a boat made from a hollowed-out pumpkin.
Think how long that would take with those tiny little arms. He's probably got like a popsicle stick for like an oar.
Or, Darren, is it possible that the pumpkin is large and he's just a regular-sized person?
Well, I don't see that happening.
Well, that's what happened. Here he is. He looks like he's having the time of his life.
Looks like he's miserable.
He really does. Like this was a dumb idea.
This is stupid.
Dwayne Hansen set out from the public boat docks in Bellevue, Nebraska at 7:30 in the morning in an 846-pound pumpkin.
Hollowed out, of course.
Yeah. Otherwise.
What are you doing?
What are we doing here? Oh, I'll hollow it out. That's a good idea. I should probably look into that. Oh, hey. I'll just leave the guts here on the side of the river. It'll be something the raccoons can enjoy. He set out on his journey in an 846-pound pumpkin.
Did he have a cause?
Well, he turned 60. That's what it says here. He left at 6:30 in the morning, and he arrived in Nebraska City just after 6:30 at night. All day long, floating around in a hollowed-out pumpkin. He had asked Bellevue, Nebraska city officials to serve as witness for what he hoped would be a record-setting attempt.
There is no record.
A city witness saying here on a Facebook post, quote, "They say if you stay in your job long enough, you might see just about everything, and this morning was one of those days." He named the pumpkin the SS Berta. "I christened thee the SS Berta. Spalding, get your foot off the pumpkin." The pumpkin vessel had the name SS Berta written on the back and had a cup holder carved into the hull. Hansen's wife, family, and friends were also there to document his journey. Some of them followed him in a real boat, just in case the pumpkin ran into any problems. The previous record for longest journey by pumpkin boat was 25 and a half miles. That record was set back in 2018.
If you're in a pumpkin boat in Nebraska,
yes,
don't you think there's the distinct possibility that people on the shore...
Yeah.
Might shoot up your pumpkin and sink you?
That's why I'm reading this story. I'm shocked that that didn't happen. How is it none of them took shots at him?
What's that, a guy in a pumpkin?
Sink him.
Get him.
Sink him.
Get him. He's in international waters. Get him.
International waters? We're as landlocked as we can be. We're in Nebraska.
It's the Missouri River.
Sink him.
Guinness World Record spokesperson Kyle Galloway saying that they have reviewed the application for the title and they are awaiting evidence to review before they officially announce him the new record holder for longest journey by pumpkin boat.
I'm surprised. I guess pumpkin spice wasn't as popular back then, but I'm surprised that they didn't have a commercial when the Tidy Bold Man, it was like in October, and the Tidy Bold Man is riding around in a pumpkin in your toilet tank.
There's you know how they have those signs that everyone's putting up in their houses now where it's like, you know,
home,
live, love, laugh, and in this house we do these things. You know those signs? Somebody took, there's a sign that is meant to be in your kitchen.
Yeah.
You put it in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And what's it say? Where you bake all of your cookies.
Yes.
And the sign says, life is short, lick the bowl.
Okay.
And somebody put that sign in their bathroom. Right above the toilet. Life is short, lick the bowl. Go for it. Guinness says,
you know what? And I'm tired of this. I'm tired of all the signs that keep reminding us life is short. I get it. Cool it.
We don't need that on the wall.
I don't need that everywhere I turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think it's weird that when it's like, in this house, this is what we do. And everything you do is just what a normal family would do. Like, in this house, we give each other hugs. Oh, do you? That's crazy.
I'd like a big sign that just says, what?
What are you looking at? That'd be a good sign for a house.
What?
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Beat it.
Guinness says of this pumpkin journey, quote, within our application process, we provide the applicant with guidelines that are specific to that record category that must be adhered to qualify. These guidelines also detail the evidence that must be submitted. Once received and reviewed, our records management team will then confirm the success or failure of the record attempt. The guy, this Dwayne Hansen, lives in Syracuse, Nebraska, and it says here that he enjoys growing large pumpkins, gourds, and other vegetables as a hobby. It's what he does for fun. So he must have grown this big pumpkin. Do you think you grow a pumpkin this big thinking,
yes,
I'm gonna float in it?
Yes, I'm going to get in it. If there's one big enough... ever, I will live in the pumpkin.
This will be my home. Syracuse, Nebraska.
I suppose you could you'd have to be a pretty big pumpkin.
Yeah.
I suppose you could bury someone in a pumpkin.
A pumpkin coffin?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to kind of have to crumple them up.
Well, yeah, you might have to just... Yeah.
You'd have to kind of like bend their knees and whatnot.
Yeah. Bury you in a, you know, the fetus position, I suppose.
Imagine some future archaeologist pulling that out of the ground.
What the hell was wrong with these people?
I don't know. We found a...
I don't know.
We found a skeleton.
What the hell was going on back then?
We found a skeleton in what appears to be a rotted out pumpkin. It's just...
I tell you what.
None of it makes a lick of sense.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
But it was only fantasy.
Yes, I've been found out and they want their $100 back.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie. Does he have to give the money back?
That I don't know. I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen The Squid and the Whale?
Uh-uh.
I'm acting like it's my favorite movie. I watched it once. That's it for...
The Squid and the Whale.
Yeah, that's the name of the movie. The Squid and the Whale.
They should have called it Corn Dog and the Cattail.
Well, that's what we called this episode.
Right.
So, take that, Pink Floyd.
Good enough.
Thanks for having us on.
Take that, Sid Barrett.
Thanks for downloading it and subscribing and leaving reviews and all that you've done. Patrons, we'll have a very special Dave and Darren Classics for you.
Ooh.
Very soon.
Well, that's a good idea.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
Can you stay classic and...
stay classic?
Yes, and safe and classy. Or classy and safe.
Yes.
Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bye-bye.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.